Sorry about we've had a bunch of technical difficulties here for the start of the show, so sorry about that. We're good to go here, though, and we're going to do our rally cap bit right now because we have a guest waiting, the FCAC 9-5 in Alliance games, and we're going to talk to, later on, Annabelle James, the manager of the new Canaan football team, and why do we have a manager coming on? You will not believe if you read the Rudin report this week, you won't believe what these managers do and what you have envisioned probably for what they do. But we're going to bounce around the games, and joining me as always, Sean Ireland. Sean, sorry about that.
Hey, Dave, we got, you know, a tough first quarter, but you know, we got three quarters to go. We'll bounce back. We'll be fine.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened, so we're scrambling here, but we're going to get right into our first guest who's been patiently waiting, and he hit the shot heard round Westport on Friday night. 38-yard field goal at the buzzer to give the Wreckers a 34-33 win over West Haven, keep them undefeated at 3-0, and that's Staples kicker Mickey Ross. Mickey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
All right. Sorry here. We had a little bit of technical difficulties, but let's first of all get right into everything. You been a celebrity walking around town past few days?
I mean, a little bit, but I just stay focused on my craft and keep moving forward.
Nope. First of all, you've got an interesting backstory before we get to the kick. And you were cut, you were a soccer player, cut from the team as a ninth grader. You've been playing soccer all your life. What's the mood when you get cut from the soccer team? I mean, nobody wants to be cut from a team.
Yeah, so, I mean, I got cut. I was playing soccer my whole life, and then it was pretty disappointing. And because I've been playing soccer my whole life, and then I needed something to do. I can't just play no sports. So my parents let me play football as long as I was a kicker because they're not into all the contact. So I walked onto the freshman football team as a kicker.
I'm sure there are a lot of people in Staples right now who are happy you did. I know you've dealt with some injuries last year. You get to the game and you're lining up for a 38-yard field goal. I know you've made kicks from that distance before, but as you're lining up with the game on the line, what's going through your mind?
You know, I'm just trying to clear my head, think about just a nice, smooth swing, nice kick, and then just watch it go right through the middle of the uprights. I wasn't thinking about anything else but just the kick.
When you struck it, could you tell you hit it?
Oh, yeah. I felt just good. It was a little bit scary. It was kind of fading to the right, but it was inside the post. Yeah, it felt good.
Okay, you see the arms go up, and then what's going through your mind? You know, you kind of did the whole you showed some of your old soccer skills in terms of the goal-scoring celebration, but what's that like when you know you've been the last star of the game? Obviously, everything that went on before is important too, but what's that feeling like when you know you made the difference for your team?
You know, it took like 2 or 3 seconds after the ball went in for me to realize, like, I won the game, or I didn't just win the game, but I made the last kick, and, you know, it felt, like, surreal. I couldn't feel anything in my body. I was just so excited and happy that I could do my job for my team.
We got my co-host is Sean Ireland, who used to be the football coach at Norwalk. So, Sean, you've dealt with kickers a lot. I'll let you jump in here.
Hey, Mickey, first of all, congrats on a great kick. You know, you talked about all the pressure and all that good stuff. You know, that was tremendous, keeping your team undefeated. The question I have for you, what's your mindset? Okay, you stop West Haven. You get the ball back with under 3 minutes to go on your side of the field. Tell the truth. Are you thinking to yourself, all right, I hope they bust one, you know, to make a touchdown? Or are you saying, you know what, give me a chance to win this game?
So obviously, you know, I want the touchdown. I want the Wreckers to win. But for me, like, if they call my name, I got to be ready. I got to be the one to do my job and make the kick. So it really started with like just over 6 minutes left when we had the ball right after we blocked their PAT and we were up by two. I was thinking to myself, I might get the chance here to win the game. So that's when I started clearing my head mentally and just getting ready for that kick.
And that's just a great mindset. That's what you got to do as a kicker. Now, when you're clearing your mind, are you telling, like get away from me, let me prepare, or like guys trying to come fire you up, or are you just in your zone, you're focusing on what's going on?
Yeah, so I just kind of paced the sideline, was just thinking about nothing. People came up to me. I kind of just let it go right over my head, and I just tried to get ready to kick, and I didn't really want any distractions or anything, so I kind of just ignored everyone, which I apologize for that, if you're listening. But, yeah, that's how I kind of just clear my head.
Mickey, don't apologize to anybody. If anybody has an issue with you ignoring them, send them my way. I'll take care of it. You won the game. Great job moving, and good luck moving forward.
Thank you very much.
Well, Mickey, I guess you owe it to the soccer coach because it's been a great week for you. You got a little bit of good news the day before you even played the game against West Haven.
Yeah, so it was pretty exciting. It was kind of coincidental that it was back-to-back days where I was able to commit to Ithaca University and then able to hit the game-winning kick.
What's the life of a kicker like? What's it like? Kickers obviously are a little bit different situation than the rest of the team. What's the life of a kicker like in and out of season?
So for in season, I would say the best analogy for anyone that doesn't really know how kicking works is I'm almost like a pitcher. I can't kick my leg out every day, just like a pitcher can't throw 100, 150 pitches. Like, you're going to wear out your leg. So during the season, I'll take a very good long warm-up, make sure that my body feels good, and then I'll kick if we have, for specials, if we have punt that day, I'll work on punting all the fundamentals, catching, dropping, everything. So it's really different for every day, but I really just make sure that I have quality reps more than just kicking a bunch of balls. And then for the off season, it's really just lifting, stretching. I like to do yoga. Sometimes I'll do Pilates. And then I'll kick 2 to 3 times a week.
Well, Mickey, it's been something real good that came out of a negative. So it's just, kickers are, before I let you go, you see so much changes in kicking right now. I mean, now it's you see teams you watch on any level, and especially college and pro, and they're aligning, they're setting things up rather than trying to get you closer. They're happy if you kind of kick 50-yard field goals. And any thing you can attribute to why the kicking game has changed so much, and why kickers are having so much more success than they used to do, and it's now commonplace to see long kicks go through?
So I kind of just feel like, I mean, kickers take so much time, effort. Like, that's their job. It's your job. My job on the football team is to kick the ball through the posts. So I feel like recently, like, kickers in the NFL and college have really taken that, not more serious, but have cared about it more, and I focused on it. And then with the help of new technology, like there's, for example, the TrackMan, which is like a that multi tens of thousands of dollars. It's like a machine where it tracks your kicks and analyzes everything. So there's like new technology coming out that helps kickers, new just information. So there's all this kind of new, it's a new game, new sport almost for kickers.
That's really cool. I wasn't aware of that. Well, I'm glad this has all worked out for you. I'm going to come see you play at Darien in a huge, huge game Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I know you have a Yankee game you got to get to, but I want to thank you for taking the time here to join us, and congratulations. I'm glad you got that special moment, and best of luck the rest of the year.
Yes, thank you. This is a lot of fun.
Well, good. Hopefully we'll have you back again. Kick a few more game winners.
Hopefully.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mickey.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go through here for a couple more minutes till we get to a break. Let's regroup here, Sean. This was, I think, from what I could tell, there was like some sort of a little power outage here in the studio because the computer here went out also. But a good week for the FCAC. New Canaan with a win, Staples with a win, Darien with a win, St. Joseph with a win, Greenwich with a win, Wilton with a win, Ludlow with a win. All the top teams in the league come away with victories. And we talked earlier on in the season about how people think that teams were going to be down, and I think it's too early to say whether teams of this year could beat teams of their teams last year. But you know what? It doesn't matter. They don't have to beat the teams from last year. They just have to beat who's on their schedule and be the best they can be this year, and whether they're on the same level or not, better or worse. They're showing right now the league looks like it's still the top league in the state.
Yeah, Dave, absolutely. You know, again, going, I think we went 12-4 week one in the Alliance, 9-5 this week with we had one interleague game the FCAC had. I mean, the third of the way through the season, it's in the numbers that the FCAC is the best league in the state. And you can't argue those numbers. Maybe there's a team out there that might be better. I don't think so. But from top to bottom, the FCAC is the best league in the state.
No, absolutely. And that 5-0 record against the SEC. Now, the Alliance games have worked out really well. I mean, it still needs to be fine-tuned, and the Alliance guys like to beat their chest on social media. It's funny just watching their comments on social media, but the Alliance has been a positive. But I think also we're seeing that, and I don't know what the answer is in terms of trying to get games that a little bit more consistency with the caliber of competition that all teams are playing, but it's a good thing that still needs a little bit of fine tuning.
Yeah, I agree. Something, you know, needs to be tuned up a little bit, but I don't think too much, Dave, because if you look, this is what we want. You know, the team that you just mentioned, St. Joe's, Staples, Wilton, Darien, they were all one-score games, and that's what we want, I think, right? We don't want the 35-0, the 42-7s, you know, so I think we're getting there. They're definitely moving in the right direction. You know, this is what we want. We want even teams playing each other, but some things do need to be tweaked. I do agree with that as well.
And the thing that makes it different, and that was a good point about close games, and really think about that. The other thing is all the FCAC teams are in double L and L except for Wilton and St. Joseph. And double, we gotta fix basketball and football in the state, but double L, which you think would be the premier division, it's just so weak right now.
Yeah, and Dave, as somebody who's been coach at a double L school for a long time, you know, people smarter than I am, they have to come up with some type of formula where it's not just school size, you know. And again, I'm just going to use them as an example just based on records. West Hill is a double L school. Bridgeport Central is a double L school. So it's not just the numbers. There's got to be something else that you compare with the enrollment, maybe with their records, previous records, not just school size, because obviously that's not what the best division in football is. L. So
I'll fix it right now. I have the solution right away that'll never get done. Four divisions.
Yeah.
Four divisions. Yeah. That's all you got to do. Four divisions, and now all of a sudden, problem solved. The problem is we like to give trophies away in this state.
Dave, I'll go one further, Dave. I would say five divisions. Just hear me out.
No, I know what you're going to say.
Let all the tech schools play in the fifth division.
I'm fine with
that. We have four divisions.
Yep.
And all the tech schools in the fifth.
I'm fine with that because that's essentially going four. I mean, I'd like to have three and really reward excellence, but I could live with four. And there's no way. But the state will never. The state will never do it. The genie's out, and it's the same thing with basketball, where it's so diluted right now. And I'm not even gonna get going on that one, but. Let's take we've regrouped a little bit, so why don't we take a break right now, and when we come back on the other side, we'll go through some of the games. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Let's hear what Dave Rudin has to say about this week in high school football. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Okay, we're back, and Sean and I are going to bounce around the league. And, Sean, why don't we just start, since it was the game that I was at with New Canaan, Bunnell. Rams with a 27-7 win. Real impressive performance. They looked like the New Canaan of last year. The compositions of the team are so similar, other than having a new quarterback, Maddox Hoffman, who's still getting his feet wet with everything and is still a work in progress, to use a Lou Marinelli-ism, even though he's not using that term right now. But otherwise, I could have been watching the New Canaan team of last year.
Yeah, it's New Canaan, it's no secret. They're always going to have a consistent offense, okay? There are years where their offense is unbelievable, but they're always consistent. But they always, every single year, they have a dominating defense. I think they only let up two touchdowns so far this entire year. I mean, one was on a trick play. I mean, it's still a play. They got to defend it. One was on a trick play. But their defense is just stellar again. Year in, year out, their defense is going to be the backbone of that team.
I got home and I'm trying to figure out, or even after the game, what's my story angle? And it's weird. You go to him so much, but Andrew Esposito does it all and is definitely a candidate for player of the year, probably the front runner right now in the FCAC. But they took what at the end of last year, and New Canaan is blessed to have enough talent that they're single platoon and they don't have to wear players down. But once it got to the postseason last year, they started wanting to get the ball in his hands more. They used him out of the wildcat on offense, and they actually put him back in the secondary on defense. Now they're doing it right from the outset. I couldn't tell. I asked him after the game, and he said that he thinks he only missed six or seven plays, but he finished with 169 yards of total offense, over 100 receiving, scored a touchdown, scored their last touchdown of the game out of the wildcat. Hit a couple of nice lots. Maddox Hoffman was off a little bit. I think he was 6 for 18, but the passes he hit, those six completions for over 190 yards, he threw a really, really nice long ball on Friday night. And then, Andrew's on the back end on defense making tackles, and it's kind of like, well, do I write about him again? I write about him all the time, and what about the other guys? But he's doing something different this year playing. He's basically become a Travis Hunter.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Everybody always knew what he could do. Offensively, he's unbelievable because, Dave, and you said it, they can put him anywhere. You know, they line him up in the backfield. They line him up out wide. He takes snaps. He runs the power game. You know, he could go out, run routes, and catch, balls over the middle. He can run deep routes, catch deep ball. So this kid does literally everything that you want him to do. And, I always said, if you have an athlete that good, why are you only playing him half the game? You know what I mean? I know you don't want to tire kids out and stuff like that. But, I mean, he's such a good athlete. No, you got to play him both ways. You know, he's just that good of an athlete to only play him half the game.
And then I kind of feel like, I'm not giving enough due to the other guys on the team. And I'm going to – I haven't gotten in touch with Lou yet, but I'm going to do a follow-up story about – he's been different. I joke with him. Our running joke so far this year is he hasn't used the term work in progress, which he's done for like the last 10 weeks, the last 2 years. And he's kind of different feeling. It's kind of like, okay, yeah, we got some things we got to work on, but I like what we're doing. It's more like a glass half full of whenever there's any kind of negativity, which there isn't, instead of, you know, we better fix this stuff or else. It's kind of like, you know, I don't want to put words in his mouth. I'm going to talk to him later for a story in the next day or two. But Ryan Francis on the line, Ryan Brooks and Mikey Harriman doing a great job at linebacker. They have another, you know, you think with the last 2 years losing the kind of kickers they did, they have a sophomore right now who's emerged named Neil Aurora, who's kicking from 40 yards and beyond. They've got a lot of good offensive players as well. They've been mixing in a bunch of guys. James McInerney had 2 touchdowns. So, you know what? It just looks like the new Canaan team we've come to expect.
You know, Dave, after 35 to 40 years, I don't know how many years he's been, he's finally put it all together, you know? But, Dave, it all comes from the culture that Coach and his entire staff has built there. Now, I was not at the game, but I did see pictures and stuff. It looked like it was their youth night. There had to be 500 kids there. And they're all wearing jerseys. They're all wearing black and red. And all those kids are going to come right up through the same program. So, you know, what he's doing, it's working. It's not just at the high school level. It's at the youth level. And that's where you got to start it. You got to start it when they're young. So the kids want to go to your school. They want to be part of that program. And that's exactly what they're doing. And, you know, it's credit to them. It's credit to Lou, his staff, and the town itself, because he gets the support.
Absolutely. And that's where I was going next. I always seem to cover New Canaan on youth football night. But whenever people ask me, why is New Canaan have this sustained success? I said, come to youth football night. There's a few hundred kids there, and it's all exciting. They're all taking pictures in the parking lot and on the field. And you talk to the current New Canaan players, and they talk about when they were doing the same thing and how they looked up to the players, and it's kind of become a full circle thing. And it's a program, and why are these other towns? I mean, Darien's been doing it also, but you see it in Staples and some of these other places. They're doing the same thing now. The coaches are going into the youth programs, and that's a feeder system. That's the minor leagues of high school football or high school sports. And the coaches are working, the high school coaches are working with the youth coaches on what to do. And if you're able to do that, it gives your program such an advantage.
Huge advantage. And, you know, and I can speak from personal experience, you know, when Coach Albano was at McMahon, we met with the Norwalk youth program. We're like, hey, listen, we got to try to do something. And it was like, well, we have 2 high schools. We can't. We're like, yes, we can. There's ways to do it. But it was just very tough to try to get through to them, you know. So, they played Norwalk High 1 year when I was coaching on youth night. And all the kids are out there. The team runs through them. I look at the guy holding the chains. I'm like, this is amazing. He's like, he goes to me, Coach, this is only the tackle program. He's like, there's another 150 kids in the flag program that aren't even here. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So it starts with them young. You know, they're doing a great job. Any new young coaches out there, mirror what they're doing. And then, you know, you will have success.
Yeah, it's just like it's the University of New Canaan. They just do such a great job. And as we're going to find out in a little while, it even runs down to what the managers do, which I told you a little bit about on the ride in here, and we'll have a fun time with Annabelle in a little bit. Just finishing up on Staples, Mickey Ross, just a clutch field goal under the toughest circumstances possible. Credit the unsung hero for Staples, Justin Hawkey, who blocked 2 extra points. If he doesn't do that, Ross isn't going for a field goal because they need a touchdown to win. And just, Nick Weil struggled a little bit at quarterback, not the Nick Weil game that we've come to expect from him this last year plus, but Staples finds a way to win.
Yeah, David, and you know, we just said how, like, this is like, we know what New Canaan's going to do. If Staples plays West Haven, we know it's coming down to the last possession. Every year, when they play each other every year, every year it comes down to the last possession. You know, great job by Staples. You know, we talked to Mickey. We don't need to, you know, go over all that again, but he did tremendous. You know, all the pressure. Kicker's pretty much the one position that if you mess up, everybody knows. You know, everybody knows. So for him to come in and make that kick against a team like West Haven with game on the line is unbelievable. Great job, the coach. He's doing a great job there. First year there, he's doing unbelievable. I can't pronounce his last name, so I'm just gonna say Coach Matt.
Jack Lass.
So he's doing a tremendous job there. You know, the train's still on the tracks in Westport. They're doing great. They're doing great.
And one of three great games next weekend. Staples goes to Darien, and we'll get a little bit of a peek if indeed New Canaan and Greenwich are the top two teams. This is probably the battle right now for number three. And Darien, everybody said, you know, beware Darien. They're going to really sink in fall this year. And not so far. 3-0, a 28-21 win over Massac. And Jay Francisi, the quarterback who stepped in to take over for Ben Rolap, four touchdown passes, a big win on the road for the Blue Wave.
Yeah, whenever you go into a place like Massac and come out with a win, you know, it's a great win. I mean, any win's a great win, but that's a great win. You know, and Dave, we talked preseason how you just said how everybody's saying, hey, Darien's going to take a step back. Their quarterback transferred, their receivers transferred, this kid moved here, you know, this and that, you know. They're 3-0 right now. Not many teams can say that. They're doing a fantastic job. But next week, we will see what's going down in the FCAC.
No, absolutely. It'll be interesting to get a read on it. Again, I'm not really quite sure with Staples and Darien. I don't know what to expect in that game. It's probably a pick'em game. I probably would make Staples a little bit of a. I'll make them a very slight favorite, but not by much. It's, you know what, that game's going to tell us a lot about both teams.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, obviously we want just a we want a close game. We want it to come down to the end. You know, if you ask me today who I think's going to win, I'm going to tell you Staples. If you ask me tomorrow, I could probably say Darien. You know, so it's going to go back and forth. Dave, call me on Friday. If that's the game you're going to, call me on your way in, and I will give you my final pick at that time. And it will probably change after.
Yeah. Again, I think that's – I'm still learning about these teams. And again, we don't know much about out-of-conference competition right now. So we need some more body of work in the league, and there weren't many big games at all last weekend. So we'll learn more. We're going to know more, especially after the two other games that we're going to get to on the other side of this break. We're going to know a lot more by the time we're talking next week. But let's take a break right now. We'll come back and continue the talk of last week, this week. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
High school football lives here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut, with Sunday Morning Quarterback and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and Sean and I are going to continue to bounce around. And as we look ahead to next weekend, a game that we wouldn't necessarily have been putting on the marquee compared to some of the other ones, but the two teams that came away with impressive 7-point wins this past weekend on the road to remain unbeaten. Wilton went to Cheshire, 28-21 win. And Fairfield Ludlow, which some people told me it was going to be a rebuilding year, goes to Shelton and comes away with a 21-14 victory. Sean, those two teams play each other next weekend.
Yeah, we got a couple of undefeateds playing against each other next week. This is one of the games I actually have written down because I think whoever wins this game is going to be that. Last week we talked about tier ones, tier twos. I think whoever wins this game, you can make the argument they could be a tier one team. Both very, very impressive wins last week. You know, whenever you're playing at Cheshire, whenever you are playing at Shelton and you come away with a victory, that is good. They're both not fun places to play. Long bus rides. You know, the schools up there, they eat, sleep, breathe football. So for them to come away with wins, it's impressive. And I'm not going to lie, surprised with Ludlow. Maybe we shouldn't be. Maybe Mitch and Ludlow turn the corner where they're not rebuilding anymore, where they're just going to be year in, year out. You know, they graduated, I think, 17, 18 starters, and right now they're 3-0 with quality wins. So I'm very anxious to see what goes on at Wilton this weekend.
Yeah, Wilton, I expected to be good. I didn't know how good. And right now they look very, very good. Ludlow, I would say, has been the biggest surprise so far, probably, just because people just even internally, I mean, even Mitch told me it was a rebuilding year, though the more we talked in the off season, the later in the off season, the better they got. So they've certainly have been impressive. Wilton, Charlie Calabrese was the running back last year, took over at quarterback, and he's done a good job and ran for a touchdown. And his replacement at running back, Dennis Dustin, ran for three touchdowns. And we knew they were going to run the option. They're going to be more of a running team, and they're just running the ball really, really well, and they play good defense. So when you're doing those kind of things, you're winning the line of scrimmage, you're going to win a lot of games, and that's one reason they're 3-0 right now.
Absolutely. You know, if you look up, you know, they have a shutout. They let up 12 points and 21 points this last weekend. You know, so their defense has been unbelievable. Whenever you have a quarterback like Calabrese, like he's just to come in as a running back last year, okay, now we're switching. Now you're handling the ball every single snap. And he's doing it like he's been a starter there for years. So what Denunzio's doing there, it's unbelievable. You know, again, Cheshire's never fun. And they had to play up there, which is not good. To come away with a close, hard-fought victory, you know, that just builds character, you know, as the season goes on. So, like I said, really looking forward to this Friday night.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting not just who wins, but how close is the game. You know, if we have a one-touchdown decision, a close game, I think we can expect both these teams, which have interesting schedules coming up because of their past success. But I think we look at both of them as teams that are going to stay in the hunt for state playoff berths. Ludlow's going to have a real tough time just because they're an L, which is always loaded, but they got in last year, and if they got a win here, this is kind of what we kind of like last week when we were talking about the Wilton Trumbull game, and the team that was going to win was going to have a big advantage, and this is a real similar game right now in terms of composition going in.
Yeah, absolutely. The winner of this game is, I don't want to say in the driver's seat because their schedules are very tough the remaining way, but, you know, everybody's ultimate goal is to win the state championship. In order to make the state championship, you got to get in. And the winner of this game puts himself in a nice seat almost halfway through the season, you know, with their points and all that stuff in the state playoff rankings.
No, and this is a good game for bonus points. And again, it's trying to win these games that you go in and you're either favored or you look at 50-50 games. You know, all these teams are going to have to come in and they're going to have to play the, you know, they're going to have a couple of games and depending on where you finished recently, maybe more than that against the New Canaans and Darien's and Staples. And I know Wilton and Staples, for one, are meeting in the not-too-distant future, which will be another interesting game. But it's kind of cool because the other game we'll get to in a second is St. Joe's and New Canaan. So whoever thought that we would be saying St. Joseph, New Canaan, Darien, and Staples, and we're going to mention Wilton and Ludlow and put that game on that same pedestal.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dave, I have one other game, not on that pedestal, but there's 2-2-1 teams playing, Richfield and Norwalk. I think they're a step below, but it's just whoever wins that, you know, they're going to be relevant again, you know, for another week and moving forward. But the three games you said, those are the marquee games this week. You know, New Canaan at St. Joe's, you know it's going to be a battle. You know, St. Joe's, you know, their schedule so far, you know, Hand, Southington, you know, so they're tested. New Canaan's schedule so far, Newtown, Bunnell, they're tested. So they're both going to be ready. You know, you can make the argument the two best coaching staffs in the league, so that you know they're going to be prepared. You know, let's just see who's going to come out on top. I can see that being a fourth quarter, one possession game. Whoever has the ball last wins.
Our guy Easton Pace, 4 rushing touchdowns, 2 passing touchdowns, 229 yards passing, 161 rushing, and a big win, explosive performance against New Milford. You know, Ridgefield is 2-1. That lost to New Canaan soundly, but you know what? A lot of teams lose to New Canaan soundly.
Yeah.
So where you know that this is the you know what we've talked about with Norwalk. This is the kind of game that they need to win if they want to get in the state playoffs.
Yes, absolutely. The next two big weeks are very big for Norwalk. You know, they got Richfield, then Ludlow, but again, one game at a time. But yeah, these are the games that if you want to be taken serious, you got to pull it out. You know, you got to win this one if you want to be talk about playoffs and all that stuff. This is a big one for them. Yeah, and Dave, the good thing with Norwalk, man, they showed real resilience. They were down 12-0 3 minutes into the game. And they did not panic. They came right out after that 12-0. Norwalk completely, I'm not going to say dominated, but you know, they were definitely the better team. But it was a little dicey the first couple minutes of the game.
What's the mood like in Norwalk right now with the team off to a good start and having prospects to have a really good year?
It's exciting, Dave. You know, I say it all the time, and like we said a couple years ago with Stanford, and now whenever a school has a good football season, you know, it just rallies the whole entire school. There's a different mood in the building. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's wearing, you know, green and white in the hallways. Everybody's wearing Norwalk High stuff. The cheerleaders are, you know, are there. They're running on Fridays. They're in their outfits, you know. So it's just a different feel in the school, you know. When your football team is good, there's just a different vibe in the building.
That's good. Again, it's nice that we're talking about these different teams and talking about, you know, even Ridgefield. Real quickly, Greenwich 38-7 win over Notre Dame of West Haven. Not a lot to talk about except for another good job for Hector Lopez, who goes for 164 yards and 2 touchdowns. Definitely a player of the year candidate as well. And then in a back-and-forth game, St. Joseph came away with a 30-24 win over Southington. Game went back and forth. Tristan Spain, who had 3 touchdowns last week, 190 yards rushing in the winning score, and St. Joseph again finds a way to win.
Yeah, that game was interesting because my first thought was when St. Joe scored with under a minute, I'm like, all right, let's see if they can, you know, because the same thing happened week one and they weren't able to hold on. But they were able to hold on, you know, great job not panicking at all. You know, those kids have been through it, you know, so they know everything, you know, they know how to win football games, put it that way. So for them to score late and then, you know, to hold on, you know, great job by St. Joe's.
And then we get the other big game next week is New Canaan, St. Joseph. St. Joseph used to, in the Drew Pine years, just used to drive the Rams crazy and give them fits during the regular season. And even in the last Drew Pine game, which he didn't play in because he was hurt in the state playoffs, a little different right now. New Canaan's been kind of just running like a machine. And St. Joseph, I think, still, I'll use a Lumism, a work in progress. Kind of hard to tell what the ceiling is for how good the St. Joseph team could be right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're very good. I know when we talked to Joe last year, he was really praising his sophomore class. So they're obviously all juniors now, so I'm sure a lot of those guys are on the field. So they got players there. They definitely got players. You know, they're one play away from being undefeated right now. They should be undefeated. Let's just say it. They should be undefeated right now. We're going to see this week, Dave, is New Canaan by themselves? Like, are they on top by themselves? You know, like, do they win? If it's a close game, okay, there's not as big a gap. But if they come away with a decisive victory, all right, New Canaan might be, you know, on a tier of their own and everybody else is looking up to them. But that's the beauty of the game, Dave. We're going to find out Saturday afternoon.
Okay, well, why don't we take a break right here and we'll come back in a little bit more discussion in next week. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
High school football lives here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut with Sunday Morning Quarterback and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back, and Sean, let's continue talking a little bit about Saturday. We have four of the five premier programs over the past decade going up head-to-head. Greenwich, the only exception, but Greenwich is going to get their chance at these teams coming up. How big is it for these teams? How detrimental is it if you lose one of these games, or is it that detrimental?
I think it's more detrimental for St. Joseph's than it is for New Canaan, just because they already have a loss. You know, their schedule the rest of the way is very, very tough. So if they lose this one, they might have to run the table. And if they're doing that, they got to go through Darien, Staples, Ludlow, Wilton, and Trumbull. So that's a very tough task. You know, the Alliance games are great. You know, they are, we get what we out of them. But these are the ones that, like, okay, we know these guys. We play these guys year in, year out. We know their uniforms. We know their stadium. We know their fans. We know everything. So it means a little bit more the rest of the way. These are the games you want to see within your league also. You know, you want to see the teams that are even playing each other, and that's what's happening.
Yeah, I just think New Canaan's, I mean, they're a tough matchup for anybody, but for the St. Joseph team, and I just saw them against Tan, so I'm going to base on that. I'm not quite sure about their depth, and if you don't have depth against a team like the Rams, you're in trouble. And I also just kind of wonder about how they'll do on both lines. Now, I got burned by this last year when I said that I thought St. Joe's was going to get beaten on the line when they played Greenwich, and they came away and almost won that game. But I don't know how they're going to keep H.T. Jones from being on the run a lot.
Yeah, that's a tough task. You know, whatever, they're going to have some type of game plan. You know, again, they're St. Joe's, they're 16-time state champs for a reason. You know, so they're going to be in it. And, Dave, I thought the same thing you said. You know, last year I thought Greenwich was going to take it to them, and they didn't. They had a chance there at the end to win the game. I think it's going to be a good game. I think New Canaan is going to pull away in the second half. I hope I'm wrong in terms of pulling. You know, I'm not rooting for anybody to win. I just want to see a close game. That's what I want.
I mean, I want to see a close game, and everybody asks me who I'm rooting for, and I don't root for anybody. I root for a good story. Oh, that's my line because it's true. And, you know, credit, I didn't mention this earlier, but the other thing that was really impressive about New Canaan's defense is Bunnell's going to beat a lot of teams. They have a tremendous running attack. They used a lot of misdirection, and New Canaan did a good job of containing. They had big runners. They had fast runners. They had a little bit of everything. You alluded to earlier, the one touchdown came on a well-executed option pass with running back hitting the wide receiver, and it was just really well-executed. But they tried a whole bunch of things, but this is just a swarming defense, and there's not a better assistant coach in the league, maybe not in the state, than Chris Silvestri, the defensive coordinator for New Canaan. And it's going to help. I talked to the team and I talked to Lou after the game. Playing all these different kinds of offenses now helps you so much in December.
Yeah, it does. Because, you know, back in the day, everybody ran the wing tee or the power eye. That was it. So, like, the weeks of practice, it was just like, okay, this is what they do. You saw it the week before. It wasn't that big of a deal. Now everybody runs some variation of something. Nothing's the same. Dave, we said it earlier. New Canaan's defense, year in, year out, that's their backbone. And so far in the early season, it's their backbone again. And what what Coach Silvestri does with these kids, again, year in, year out, it's not a fluke. You know, the kids buy into the system. I remember he had a quote last year when he was on with us. He said, you know, I tell the kids that everybody's a different tool in the shed. Not every tool does the same thing, but all the tools work together to get the job done. So I that quote just stuck with me, you know, and you know, what he's doing there is unbelievable.
Okay, well, why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we're going to go from what happens on the field to off it. Stick around. This is a terrific piece with New Canaan manager Annabel James. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback on WICC.
Expert analysis and all things high school football. You're listening to Sunday Morning Quarterback with Dave Rudin, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Okay, we're back and we're going to finish up here. I don't think I've ever interviewed a manager of a team before, certainly not on radio, but I did a story this week that's gotten a lot of great feedback about the New Canaan managers. You probably all have your preconceptions about what a manager does. They're about to be changed right now. Joining me, one of the three, to call them a manager, it doesn't seem to do them justice, but one of the three managers for New Canaan, Annabel James. Annabel, how you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I have to ask you. The players are tired after a game. Are you more tired than the players?
I think they might be more tired than I am, but you know, it's pretty close.
Okay. Well, let's before I even I want you to explain it more before I start getting into questions. I wanted you to take me through Friday night, the game against Bunnell, and take me through beginning to end so everybody can get an idea for what a game day is like for you guys.
Yeah, of course. So report time for the players was around 4:45, but I chose to get there around 3:45. I go and I make sure all the jerseys are set out and the pants that they have for the games. My other two coworkers, Callie and Peyton, they helped like print out all the comp lists, the captain's cards for the referees, the depth charts for the announcer. And then we normally just kind of make sure that the players have everything they need. We get the water coolers filled up and set out for the game. And then we go over and start to set up the camera stuff and make sure that that's all working and connected so that during the game they have the live feed on the field and that they can watch the film after. They only watch the film from the games during practice days. And then we make sure the announcer has the correct pronunciation of the names of all the players. And we're just kind of around to make sure if anyone needs help, the coaches need anything done. They just kind of have to be there and waiting on them. And then the second the game starts, it's all hands on deck. So we have two filmers up in the press box, one sitting inside doing the computer and the other one doing the live feed on the top. And then I do the end zone camera. So we do that the entire game. And then after the game, we have to make sure all of the camera stuff is put away. All the stuff has been cleared off the field. There's no garbage, cords, anything like helmets, anything that's left on the field. And then normally, so on Friday night, I think the players left around 10:15, but we have to stay there after and make sure that all their jerseys and pants have been collected and all the stuff that was used for the game was put away. So I think I left around probably 10:45, so about a half hour later than everyone else. And that was kind of the whole game day. We just made sure that everything that was needed was there for everyone.
Just a normal day at the office.
Sean,
that's what your managers did when you were coaching, right? That was a typical day at Norwalk?
No, Annabelle. I wish you were around from 2011 to 2019. I would have gladly used you at Norwalk High.
What? Also, I mean, it's important for people to know that what you're doing with the filming. And I was in the tent at halftime to sit down, but that what you guys are doing, you're getting replays down to the field almost instantaneously for the coaches and players to look at.
Yeah, we have the camera that's up in the press box. That camera connects to the computer, and basically on the computer you can do like what down it is, if it's offense, defense, whatever. So then when the coaches go to look on the TV on the field, they can kind of click on the iPad which play they want to look at, and they can watch it almost immediately, Chris.
And part of that's the program you helped pick out, right?
Yeah, that was from the game strat that we found in when we went to Minnesota.
That's the next thing I wanted to get at. Besides all these different responsibilities, and we haven't touched the surface yet. That's just the game day. But Annabelle and Kelly Krueger were entrusted to go to a national film convention the summer before last for a wide variety of reasons, to network, to get themselves out there in case they may want to do this in college. But they were also entrusted to look at the latest technology and meet people. And then they went back and had a debriefing with the coaching staff and recommended GameStrat. And based on that, the team ended up buying it and uses it right now. Kind of run through that and what the Minnesota experience was like.
Yeah, so we went to Minnesota and we went to the Federal Football Film Convention, which it was the first one they ever held. We went there and we were the only two high school students, and we were two out of the three girls there. We kind of just spent 3 days going through, talking to a lot of coaches of teams and listening to people do presentations on their new software. And we found that GameStrat was the best fitting for New Canaan High School and something that we could definitely use. It was a very cool experience. We went to the Minnesota Vikings facility, and we got to do a whole bunch of different things. But I think we learned a lot there, and we did definitely do a lot of networking. I found a couple of phone numbers to some head coaches and to some new people who I could definitely use as connections to when I try to go to college, because I definitely want to do something with football in college. But it was an extremely cool experience that obviously I think was one in a million. No other managers that I've heard of have got to do something like that. So it was super cool. And then when we went back and talked to the coaches about everything, I think we all kind of just learned a lot. Like, we had a whole bunch of notes on different softwares, and we're still thinking about adding a couple of the other ones that we found. because they're definitely going to be useful in the future. But GameStrat's been working amazing for us, and the people at the convention have been so helpful to really teach us more about GameStrat and implement it into the New Canaan High School football program. So I think that experience was super cool, and me and Callie were extremely grateful to go do it. And she went back this year, and I think her going back and really getting more information on the GameStrat was kind of what was the really the push that got us to buy it, because that was just a good program for us to use, I think.
I know she went by herself, well, with her mom this past summer, and
yeah.
I guess she discovered a program for storing film that's still being discussed. But what does it say that coaches are in every team is trying to get the biggest edge they can in every single area? What's it say that the coaches are trusting two high school juniors who also happen to be females, and I'm assuming haven't played football before, that they're entrusting, but just two high school students regardless, that they're entrusting you to make such an important decision or important recommendation?
Yeah, I think it's a really key factor in it is, like, Coach Marinelli, Callie, and I, and Peyton, even, we've all grown, like, we've all spent so much time around each other that is kind of, like, that trust is needed in order for us to be doing what we do. If he didn't trust us, then we wouldn't have managers, and that's kind of how we plan on who's going to be the next managers and the next generation of who's going to come in is trust. That's the number one thing. If the coaches don't trust you, then they're just going to, they have no reason to have you there. So I think our relationship with all the coaches is built around that level of trust and the fact that, like, they know our work ethic, and they know that we're going to go there and get something out of it. And I think that was what me and Callie really had in mind when we went there. We were like, we're going to go and we're going to find things that we know would be best for the football program and will better us as a team. And so when we went, I think that was our goal in mind. And so when we went back, the coaches, I think a reason they sent Callie back this year, even though I couldn't go, is because they saw how much we learned and how seriously we took it, and in order to bring back all that information. So I think really trust is what is needed in order to be a manager in New Canaan. Like, if there's not trust, there really isn't anything, because Coach Marinelli puts so much trust in us, because he realizes, like, how dedicated we all are. Like, if we didn't care, we wouldn't be there every day. But we're taking our time out of our day to be there, and I love it. Like, I'm never would I complain about it. But I think that coaches all realize that it's, like, we wouldn't come if we didn't want to be there. And we all come. So I think that alone lets them trust us a lot.
No, you guys are a really important part of the team. What was it like in Minnesota for all these coaches and technology experts with different programs? What was it like for them to see how did they react seeing two high school girls there?
There was a good amount of coaches who didn't believe us. They thought that we were college students, and I was like, no, we are in high school. And then they were, when they figured out we were from New Canaan, they were like, oh my God, like, that's so cool. And I think that alone, because Coach Marinelli is very known by a lot of people, I think that alone was very cool to them, that they saw me and Callie putting in so much effort and so much time and energy to go and find new software to implement into New Canaan, that to them, I think it was just super cool. And it was, a lot of the coaches were very quick to be like, well, if you ever need something when you go to apply to colleges, just let me know. Like, and we're now a part of the Football Film Federation. We have, like, our own, like, logins and everything we're, like, in the association. So if we ever need to refer back to any of that stuff, like, there was a lot of people there who were willing to give us opportunities in the near future. So I think to them it was just very eye-opening to see, especially two high school students, but also two female high school students who were very interested and passionate about what they do. So, yeah, I think to them it was just very cool to see. And they were all pretty excited to work with us, especially because they knew, like, New Canaan is a very good football team and we have a very well-known coach. I think to them it was very exciting and something different that they hadn't seen.
Sean, this sounds just like your experiences working with managers.
Yeah, pretty much. Annabelle, I just want to say just real quick, and I'm sure Coach Marinelli, he's a good friend of mine, and I'm sure he lets you, Callie, and Peyton know how much you guys are part of the program, where you're probably more important than some of the actual members on the team, and I'm not just saying that. Because I can tell you right now, with what you guys do with your film and everything, and just what you told me what you do on a game day, I hope you know it does not go unnoticed, and you guys are just as much a part of the team than anybody else, if not more important. So from what I'm hearing, keep up the good work. The three of you guys
Thank
are doing
you.
Great. You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
What do your friends think about this? And they even realize what you guys do, because there's sort of a perception of you know, managers just filling buckets of water and doing a few other tasks and not much more.
Yeah, so there's a very split opinions, I think, that I get. There's some of my friends, and or just all of our friends, who are very supportive, and they're like, I think they kind of understand, because we do talk about it a lot, because it's such a big part of our lives. Is we spend like 10 out of the 12 months of the year just fully dedicated to football. So I think they kind of realize that, like, it takes up a lot of time, so we must be doing something. There's no way we're just filling up water for that many hours. And they see it, I think, because a lot of them, like, during the game days, they're like, well, why aren't you on the sidelines filling up water? And I'm like, that's not what I do. That's not part of my job. So I think a lot of my friends are pretty supportive. And then there's also the people who kind of think it's an attention thing. They see it as, oh, like, there are girls trying to be around guys. And it's just so far from that. If I really wanted that attention, I could seek elsewhere. But it's something I'm very extremely passionate about. And it's somewhere I didn't ever think that I would want to be associated with football. But the second I joined it, it was automatically like I knew that was where I belonged. And so, yeah, I think we get very mixed opinions on it from people. And it's a lot of people just think it's, oh, you're just filling up waters. But I actually have heard, and actually on Friday night, I heard from one of the Bunnell managers. She was like, well, why are you guys filming? And we're like, well, that's what we do. And she's like, wait, the manager is here film? And I was like, yeah. So I thought it was pretty interesting. Like, even other managers, like, question us. They're like, wait, well, why aren't you doing that? Or why are you doing this? It's a lot of mixed opinions from different people.
Just to go real quickly, because we're just about out of time, but the girls also, it's a 10-month-a-year job. After the season's over, they're still filming 7-on-7s, weightlifting sessions. On the weekends now, they film sub-varsity games. And we haven't even gotten in your juniors, so we'll have to get you back. But a lot of the girls have gone on to get scholarships and work on college programs. One even went and worked for the Dallas Cowboys. And the girl who brought Annabelle on is now with the Lafayette program. So, Annabelle, I could have you on for another half hour, and I will at some point. But I just think this is one of the coolest stories I've gotten to work on, and I have so much respect and admiration for what you and Callie and Peyton do. So thanks for
thanks for
coming on, and we'll have you back
thank
sometime
you for having
soon.
Me. Perfect. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, that was Annabelle James. Sean, I just think that's such a cool story.
Yeah, and I wasn't just saying, I hope Annabelle, Callie, and Peyton, I hope they do know how much, like, they are the program, and they're not where they are without them. I hope they really understand that.
They do. They do. I know that. Lou wouldn't give them this responsibility. So, okay, that's Sunday morning quarterback. We think we've rallied the last three quarters after a rough start, but thanks, Sean. We'll do this again next week. Thanks to Annabelle James. Thanks to Staples kicker Mickey Ross for coming on today. Have a good day. Have a good week. We'll see you next Sunday.